Well, dear friends, I trust that you've had a blessed Thanksgiving celebration wherever you spent the past few days. As for me and my family, we are all turkeyed out and have had our fill of football and shopping as well, I'm told. So we have entered into the season of Advent, and it's a glorious time to be part of the church. Amen?
Amen.
And our reading today, for the season of Advent, we're going to work through the lectionary readings for this particular time of year. If you're not familiar with the lectionary is a three-year cycle of scripture readings for each Sunday. Sometimes we follow those, sometimes we don't. We will for the season of Advent. I like to do that for the special seasons of the year. And so the gospel lesson for the first Sunday of Advent is from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. And I want you to hear these words, because this doesn't sound like a passage that you would hear as you begin to focus your hearts and minds on Christmas. And I just want to remind you, it's not Christmas. It's first Sunday of Advent. So listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 24. "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Oh God, as we pray today, we ask your blessing on this hour of worship and on our hearts, and pray that you would use this time, along with us using this time, to draw closer to one another and to you. Lord, help our hearts to receive your word today and prepare us for Holy Communion, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the season of Advent is a unique time in the life of the church. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. That's what Advent is season for. It's a time for us to prepare for the coming of Jesus. It really has a dual theme, if you will. In many ways, we're preparing for the incarnation to celebrate the birth of Christ just a few weeks away when we celebrate Christmas. But on the other hand, those of us on the other side of the cross are also preparing for the return of Jesus, his reappearance as the judge in the last judgment. The sermon series for the season of Advent is entitled, "Help is on the Way." And I want you to hear that as good news today. Help is on the way. Have you ever been in a circumstance where someone has said those words to you, "Help is on the way"? I found myself in that situation just a few months ago. I drove my vehicle to the east side of Columbus to a church where there was a funeral service that was taking place for a friend of mine. As I came out after the service, I found that my vehicle would not start, and I knew immediately what it was. I'm not real good with those kind of things, but I knew what this was. My starter had gone out. which means I had to push my truck all the way from Reynoldsburg to where I live. And that's a long way to push a vehicle. Actually, what I did the next day was I called AAA, and they took all my information. And the lady was just so nice on the telephone, and she said those five words at the end of the conversation: help is on the way. And so I sat in the 30 minutes she said it would take for the tow truck to arrive, and I watched 15 minutes turn into 20 minutes, and 20 into 30 minutes, and 30 into 45 minutes, and 45 minutes into an hour, still no tow truck. But I believed that help was on the way. And so I picked up the phone and called her again and said, I haven't seen the tow truck yet. And she said, oh, he's on his way. And so I had to stay with my vehicle, to keep watch, if you will, to wait patiently for what was on the way. You know, the season of Advent has a key theme to it. The key theme for the season of Advent is preparation. And as we look around the church this morning, we see that there are those who've already been making preparations for us to celebrate this season. I love when the church gets decorated for the Advent and Christmas seasons, don't you? To see the decorations, the lights, you can tell something special is about to happen. Well, this is a season of preparation. We're preparing for the celebration of Jesus' first coming at Christmas. But on the other hand, we're also preparing for the second coming of Jesus. Jesus promised to come again, didn't he, church? He promised to come again. And we live in this unique time in history where we are between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, what the Bible calls the last days. And I'm here to tell you that every Christian that's ever lived has lived in the last days, technically. Every Christian that's ever lived, from the Apostle Paul to you and me. We live with this understanding that Jesus promised to come again. And in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, there's extensive recordings of Jesus' words talking about that particular event. For example, in chapter 25, Jesus talks about what it will be like when the kingdom of God comes. And he uses three parables: the 10 bridesmaids, the parable of the talents, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Hopefully you're familiar with all of those. If you're not, read them. Matthew chapter 25. We read today from Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus begins to introduce the concept of his return. And he says in verse 36, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." It's really important you hear this. Say it with me. No one knows. Well, surely the angels know, right? No. Surely Jesus knows, right? No. Jesus said only the Father knows. You know, over the years that I have been a follower of Christ, I've seen books that have been written predicting the return of Jesus. They've been written and sold and discarded so many times over the years because no one can predict that. Jesus was very clear. But what he does tell us is that there will come a day when he will come again. And he offers us four illustrations about the sudden and unexpected nature of his return. In verse 37, he says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." What was it like in the days of Noah? Well, Jesus gives us some description. People were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, it was life as normal. As one commentary I read said, it was life as normal. Reprobate, but life as normal. In other words, life was going on as it did every other day until the flood came. And Jesus uses that illustration to describe the unexpected and sudden nature of his return. Two other illustrations he uses. The first one, he says, two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Life as usual. And that fourth illustration that I love so much But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. Jesus makes some of the most complex theological truths so easy to understand, doesn't he? I mean, if you knew that someone was going to break into your house tonight, wouldn't you be ready for them? I would. My doors would be locked. I'd have my cell phone in hand. I'd dial 911 and just wait. Because I knew that it was coming. And if I dialed 911 and hit the last one, do you know what someone would say to me on the other end? They would say, "Help is on the way." Jesus uses these illustrations to remind us of the sudden and unexpected nature of his return. We believe this, don't we, church? And the overarching message of the first Sunday of Advent, as we deal with this season of preparation, the overarching message is this: we must be ready. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage today. Verse 44, he says those very words: "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." I got to be honest with you. When I first read this passage as part of the lectionary readings for today, I thought that seems like a strange message to hear as we finish Thanksgiving and head into Christmas. Nobody's thinking about this. And the Lord said, "That's exactly why I have this for this Sunday. Because nobody's thinking about this. The world's not thinking about it. The world's consumed with what's happening in Washington or what's happening in the football seasons. That's what the world is consumed with Black Friday and everything else that's happening in the world. The world's not concerned about the return of Jesus, but the church better be." That's why this reading is here for the first Sunday of Advent, in this time of preparation, in this time of getting ready. And I just want to ask you the simple question: are you ready? I'm not talking about your shopping, and I'm not talking about your decorating. I'm not talking about your baking or your Christmas card list. What I'm asking you is, are you ready for the help that's coming? Because that's how Christians view the return of Christ. Our rescuer is on the way. Help is on the way. Will you be ready? And I don't know about you, whenever I have to get ready for certain things in life, there I recognize that there are some things that I need to stop and things that I need to start, or maybe things that I need to continue to do. So I want to ask you this question today as we talk about being ready for the return of Christ. Are there things that you need to stop? I suspect, like me, when I hear that question, maybe you don't have to think very long about something that needs to stop. Am I right about that? I'm not going to ask you what that is and hope that you don't ask me either. But the reality is, there are things in our lives that have no godly reason to be there. Are there things that you need to start? Maybe some holy habits that you have not practiced lately that you need to pick up, like your Bible. Some holy habits that you need to begin again, like spending time in your prayer closet. Some holy habits that need to start in your life that perhaps you've considered in the past but never have taken the time to do so. Why not start now in this season of preparation? I believe that probably there are things that each of us need to stop, and there are things that each of us need to start. But I've been around you enough, folks, to know that there are lots of things that you need to continue doing, like feeding the hungry. You do that so well. Like visiting the sick. You do that so well. Like remembering those who are imprisoned. You do that so well, church. Continue doing the things that you know the Lord would have you do, like loving one another, praying for one another, worshiping together, being mindful of those who have been forgotten. Continue to do those things, even as you stop certain things in your life and start other things in your life. Continue to do what you've always done that you know is right. There's a passage in Matthew 24. It's outside of what we read today, but I want to share these words with you because they've been kind of haunting me in the past few days. It's in verses 45 and 46, right after our reading today. In verse 45 and 46, Jesus says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds them doing so when he returns." In other words, the faithful and wise servant are those who continue to do what the master has asked them to do. I pray that's us. I pray that's you, and I pray that that's me. Help us on the way. Now, you may wonder about my tow truck. Yes, it eventually came. It came about a half hour late than what I was told. And then I learned that they sent the wrong tow truck. They needed a bigger one for the vehicle that I was driving. And so I got to wait 2 more hours. I got to be honest with you, there are times when you are waiting for help to come, when you feel like just giving up. You go through all sorts of emotions, anger, frustration, impatience. But I knew that if I wanted to get my vehicle home, I had to stay there and be ready. And you know what else I had to do? I had to keep calling for help. I bet I called AAA 5 times that day. "Is my truck coming?" "Help is on the way, sir." "Is my truck coming?" "Help is on the way." And I don't know about you, but every day I have to ask God for help for something. To help me to stay focused on what I know I'm supposed to be doing. To ask his help to stop those things in my life that need to stop and to start those habits that I know need to be started. Are you like me in any way? I just want you to know today, as we enter this season of Advent, a busy time for everybody, a time of preparation and a time in which many of us are not looking forward to. Let me just acknowledge that today. That for some people, this season is a very difficult time. I've heard so many Christians over the years say to me, "I just can't wait until Christmas is over." As I've lost loved ones over the years and gone through different situations, I get where people are coming from sometimes. But let's hold on to the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ and this glorious season of celebration that is upon us. Let's prepare our hearts for what it is and who it is that we're getting ready for, knowing that help is on the way. I want to end this message as an invitation for Holy Communion. And I just want to say today, for some of us here today, that maybe we've never heard a message like this before in our life. And I just want you to know that the best way that we can be ready for the coming of Jesus is to invite Jesus into our life, to make him our Lord and our Savior. And if you've not done that, today would be the best time to do that. He's just a prayer away, you know. Let's pray together. Oh God, prepare our hearts for Holy Communion today. To be able to ask for and to receive the grace of God that is freely given to us through Christ. To be reminded that there is not only a God who created us, but a God who loves us. And He gave His Son to die for us that we might have life. And so, Lord, as we go through this time of preparation, we ask that You'd prepare our hearts to meet You in this moment. Forgive us of our sins. Help us in our times of weakness. Provide solutions to the problems that are too big for us to solve. And draw near to us in these moments of worship. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen.